On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, I'm sure many listeners will recall earlier this year that Richard Satchwell was convicted of the murder of his wife Tina back in 2017. He had claimed back then that she had run off and left him, but her remains were discovered buried under the stairs in her home in Cork in late 2023. The brutal murder of Tina and the investigation that followed and Richard Satchwell's denials are the subject of a new book by the journalists Paul Byrne and Ralph Regal called Beneath the Stairs, and Ralph Regal is in studio with us now. Ralph, thanks very much for coming in to The Last Word. The murder of Tina, I think the horrific discovery in October 2023 shocked the nation, because for years this had been assumed to be a missing persons case and they were led to believe that by Richard Satchwell. We'll get into his demeanour and his lies and denials over the years in a little bit more detail, but what type of life did Tina Satchwell have with Richard?
I think that's one of the tragedies of this story, Ian, is that, you know, the people, Tina was from Fermoy in North Cork, same town that I'm actually from. And what has emerged, particularly in researching the book, is that everybody had one piece of the jigsaw. Everybody knew certain parts of the story, but they didn't know enough to be able to put together the entire picture of the levels of coercive control that this poor woman had been subjected to by her husband. She didn't drive, so she was entirely dependent on her husband for transport. All of the family accounts were in his name, so he controlled all of the finances. He monitored every aspect of her life. If she went to the doctor, he went with her. If she went to the beautician's, he would sit on the windowsill outside looking in at her just to see who she spoke to, how long she was inside. And people would say that if you met Tina on the street, you met two different people. There was Tina on her own, bright, bubbly, effervescent, a chatterbox of a character. But if you met Tina with her husband, she was a much quieter, more guarded character. And he wasn't averse to giving her signals that she was to cut short conversations she had with people. And of course, the tragedy is that ultimately he moved the family from Fermoy to Youghal. He removed Tina from the support network of her family, socially isolated her, financially isolated her, and ultimately took her life.
Yes, and that we know he reported her missing after a number of days after she had been seen. He claimed that she had run off and stolen money. And he stuck to this story, even though Gardaí could find really no evidence why Tina would run away. And he was planting all sorts of stories around the local area.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, Ian. I mean, not only the claims, for instance, that his wife had run off, he floated this completely fabricated rumour that his wife might have been having an affair with a Polish man. He talked about so many different aspects of, you know, reasons for why she would have disappeared. She vanished on March the 20th, 2017. He didn't report her missing until March the 24th. And interestingly, even though she vanished from Youghal, he reported her missing in her native Fermoy. And throughout, I mean, he fell in love with the media. I think he actually came to like the limelight, particularly in broadcast terms. He did innumerable interviews.
Which were co-author Paul Byrne of TV3 back then, yeah.
Very much so. I mean, Paul Byrne had probably the closest working relationship with Richard Satchwell. When Richard Satchwell wouldn't speak to anyone else, he would speak with Paul. And he really seemed to enjoy being in the limelight. And he came out with some extraordinary claims that, you know, he wanted his wife to come home so that he could love the bones off her. In one unbelievable interview, he posed in the house with his wife buried just metres away in this clandestine or secret grave beneath the stairs, and posed holding a bottle of cava and one of her shoes, saying that he would open the bottle of cava when she came home. So, I mean, just absolutely incredible elements of his deception.
And yet, for all of his unusual behaviour, for all of his claims to want to see Tina back, was there nobody in the Gardaí, or was there nobody saying, This surely is very unusual, given the life Tina had led so far, to suggest to them that something more had gone on here, with Richard Satchwell in particular.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly there's a review of the investigation ongoing at the moment, certainly in terms of its early days. There was a search of the property at Grattan Street. That was the property that Richard and Tina had purchased in 2016. And of course, she vanished just over a year later. There was a search of the property conducted in June of that year. And there was some forensic tests conducted, but there was no trace of blood. And I think that was a major setback to the Gardaí. I think they probably expected to find more than that, but it wasn't an invasive search. Gardaí didn't have access to a cadaver dog. They didn't dig up floors or dig up walls. So even though Tina was buried in the property at that stage, she ultimately, her remains weren't discovered until an invasive search was sanctioned in October of 2023.
And in the years after her disappearance, he would market by making the appeals on media, and he would give interviews again to you and to your co-author on this. Did it not seem strange? Because a lot of people would have covered in media, and even Gardaí would have known how people who are victims or how people are left behind behave. Did none of his behaviour strike anybody as, this is highly unusual for somebody?
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly red flags. I mean, the delay in reporting her missing, the whole financial allegations about the 26,000 euros in cash. But he was a very clever man in terms of the fact that he had isolated Tina for so long that there really wasn't anyone to come along and challenge his version of events. And I suppose the other element as well is that he was such a believable character. I mean, anyone who would have been attended the murder trial before the Central Criminal Court last April and May and witnessed, I mean, the media interviews with Richard Satchwell played a central part in that trial, and he could cry on cue. He became very emotional. And I suppose that's human nature, to give people the benefit of the doubt. And without tangible proof that he was misleading people or lying to people, Gardaí really, I think they had their suspicions, but it wasn't until they did the October search that things changed.
Yeah, and in advance of that October search, and you write about it, it was the appointment of a new and senior investigating officer that really decided to look at this case again, seek external evidence by going to, I think it was a psychologist or a consultant psychologist who had looked at other cases, and to get some sort of new impetus onto this inquiry.
Yeah, very much so, Ian. It changed in 2021. Inspector Anne-Marie Toomey, she's now a superintendent. There had been promotions, there had been transfers, there had been retirements within the Garda investigative team. And it was when Superintendent Toomey got involved that she decided the entire case file was going to be reviewed, and she was also going to get a couple of outside experts. And key amongst those was a consultant archaeologist, Professor Niamh McCullough. And she specialised in the domestic homicides. And she found that her studies, her PhD was conducted on that. And she found that in such cases as domestic homicides, bodies were invariably buried very close to the person's home. And also that the individual would try and cover their tracks by reporting the person missing and having some kind of a plausible explanation for why the person was gone. And she basically said that she considered there to be sufficient red flags to warrant an invasive search of the property. And as we know now, when Gardaí went into the property for a week, they started digging up and they found under the stairs, they found the remains of Tina. She had been buried. She'd been wrapped in heavy duty plastic sheeting, which Richard Satchwell used as part of his car boot sales operation. She'd been buried face down. And later in interviews, he claimed that he had conducted a kind of an impromptu funeral, throwing tulips into her grave. He also claimed that he buried her with her jewellery, but her jewellery was never found. And in the days after her death in March of 2017, it was noted by multiple people that Richard Satchwell was selling all of Tina's prized possessions, including her collection of Dr. Martin boots and her Juicy Couture accessories.
His lies and deception continued at that trial earlier on this year, which many people would have listened to some quite distressing detail about what went on. But he continued to say that he was the victim in this.
Yeah, very much so. Right up until the body was found, he denied to Gardaí that he was responsible. He maintained that his wife had vanished. And it was only when, after his second arrest, when he was told by Gardaí that the remains had been found, that he changed his version of events. And now, from his wife having run away, suddenly it was the fact that he had been subjected over multiple years to a campaign of domestic abuse, that his wife had attacked him with a wood chisel, he claimed, and that she had died in his desperate attempts to defend himself. But there was also shocking things emerged in terms of his behaviour. After Tina had been killed, he claimed that he slept beside her body overnight. And then he placed her body, while he was trying to figure out what to do, he placed her body in a chest freezer. Then he buried her in this secret grave under the stairs. And in an almost incredibly callous act, an act of unbelievable cruelty, he offered the chest freezer to a member of Tina's family. She didn't want it. And later he disposed of it via an ad on Done Deal, where he said, "Chest freezer for sale, free if collected, only needs a clean."
Was there a sense within him that having had the Gardaí investigate, having not had anything come out, that did he think he was going to get away with this?
I think that's a very, very good point. And he probably did, for this simple reason that as part of the June 2017 search, Gardaí seized his phones and seized several laptops. And one of those laptops contained a Google search about quicklime, which we all know is primarily used in terms of the disposal of bodies. And that search was conducted in the very week that Tina disappeared. Now, there was a delay in analysing those electronic devices, and it wasn't until several years later that it was discovered. But I think the fact that 6.5 years passed from when his wife vanished to when the Gardaí sanctioned the second search of the Grattan Street property, that he probably believed that he was going to get away with it.
He is appealing his conviction, and I'm sure that's still very hurtful to Tina's family, whom in their victim impact statement really did to try to take control of Tina's life and legacy after such a horrific death.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Ian. And I think the family believe that having taken Tina's life, Richard Satchwell then basically tried to kill her reputation and her good name through the allegations that he levelled about her. And the family have behaved with incredible courage, incredible dignity. And I think anybody who was in the Central Criminal Court to hear the victim impact statements from Sarah Howard and from Lorraine Howard couldn't but have been moved by their determination to reclaim the reputation of Tina, that she was a bright, courageous, kind-hearted person who just unfortunately went to England in her teens to forge a new life for herself, and was just unfortunate enough that one of the first people she met over there was Richard Satchwell.
You mentioned there is a review of the Gardaí's initial investigation. Where does that stand now?
That's still ongoing. The then commissioner confirmed that there would be two reviews. There would be a review into the early stages of the Tina Satchwell investigation. And there's also a review underway into the Mike Gane murder in Kerry. So we have no timeline for when those results will be published, if they will be published at all. But certainly the hope is that within the Garda Síochána that there are some lessons to be learned from the investigation. And of course, one of the things about it is that it was a cadaver dog called Fern that played a crucial role in identifying where Tina was buried. And there is a debate ongoing about whether the Garda Síochána should have full-time access to a cadaver dog.
Finally, Ralph, you and Paul Byrne have covered lots of murders in Cork over the years and interacted with lots of people surrounding the investigations. I think of the likes of the Ian Bailey case. You mentioned the Mike Gane case there as well. But where does Richard Satchwell stand from somebody you spoke to, somebody you interacted with around this?
Yeah, I think he would rank pretty much close to the top of the scale in terms of general eccentricity, oddness, and ultimately for his ability to try and manipulate people. He was described in his trial as a master manipulator, and that's very much how he behaved. He loved being in the limelight. I can't recall only one other person, that was Ian Bailey, who had such a level of engagement with the media as Richard Satchwell had. But in Richard Satchwell's case, ultimately, the engagement with the media proved a major factor in bringing him to justice.
The book is Beneath the Stairs by Ralph Regal and Paul Byrne, and it's out now. Ralph Regal, thank you very much for joining us on The Last Word.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.